This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
W229HE Atlanta. The most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta. A Dickey Broadcasting Station. The Fan. 680 and 93.7 FM.
He lives in Colorado. So yeah, I'm saying that depending on the time of day, you talk to a Colorado resident, you start hearing utterances like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that you've heard the term drunk with power? Maybe he's high with power.
Maybe. Matt, thank you.
Coach Prime is living his best life out there in the thin air of Colorado. Getting ready for season number two as a head coach for the Mighty Buffs. Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. We're on FM at 93.7. Still trying the AM thing, and we're killing it on AM. We really are at 680 AM and the 680 The Fan mobile app. Our 4 o'clock hour, it's all presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. You go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Chuck's got a college football today after we spill some tea. What can we look forward to?
Oh, about 3 minutes, take spring game.
All right. I can't wait after we spill some tea.
Georgia Tech spring game.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Georgia Tech spring game. About 3 minutes.
Sold me.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're supposed to hit the open now. She is the director of 680 The Fan social media, the head honcho management. She's Amanda Schwartz, and she's the host of the Bench Riders podcast.
Hi, Matt.
You can find that wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. She's ready to spill some tea with us. Hi, Schwartz.
Hi. Yeah, I'm ready to spill some tea. Are you ready?
I am ready for Schwartz on Sports. Where are we going today?
Okay. I know we've talked this one to death. No pun intended, but O.J. Simpson had everyone who came into contact with him sign an NDA days before he passed. So sources are telling TMZ that every single person, which is between 30 and 50 people that came to visit OJ on his deathbed, had to sign NDAs and were not allowed to bring their phone in with them to see him. A little interesting.
So I saw the story about the phones and the NDA thing. So, like, is that the fear of the deathbed? I did it, and I'm just finally coming clean? Because what else could have possibly happened as O.J. is laying there in that hospital that you're worried so much that you need a non-disclosure agreement from anybody who comes to say their goodbyes to the man?
And what's the leverage other than, you don't get in to see the juice?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to lean on you. He wasn't going to pressure you.
No, I don't think so. Nobody really knows. Obviously, the internet thinks it's because he had to get something off of his chest. But nobody knows why they had to sign NDAs. Obviously, they're not talking. But a source did tell TMZ that it had nothing to do with the murders. This was the quote from the source. The source said, "Unless being thirsty and asking for water is a confession or wanting to watch the golf tournament, nothing about the LA thing came up or was even thought about.
See, what happens, though, is you end up looking more guilty of anything in this case. Now, is he worried about... Because I'm going to guess this is only family and very close friends. Nobody's taking selfies laying there with the juice.
Right.
Right? Nobody's recording him saying something in some raspy voice as he's on his deathbed. This just all seems very, very... It feels just guilty in all walks of life if you're the juice.
I agree. Totally agree.
I got a little getting even to do.
All right, next up, a TikTok star ran in the Boston Marathon yesterday, and he took to social media after the race to show his successes. But not only that, he wanted to show his very disgusting failures. So Davis Clark, who is a Boston TikTok star and motivational speaker, he went viral after he posted a video after he completed the Boston Marathon, not for his impressive time, which was actually under 3 hours, but he took to TikTok to let his fans know that he had soiled himself during the race. And not only did he just tell everyone that he did that,
sometimes words can paint the picture.
Well, he wanted to paint the picture visually as well. You could see everything.
Hold on. So he pooped himself.
Yes.
But it wasn't enough to say he pooped himself. He wasn't embarrassed at all that he had to prove that he pooped himself.
Okay, was the first response picture didn't happen? Like, tell me that nobody... Yeah, like egged him on here.
This was one fell swoop of a video. He was talking, telling his time, and he panned down, and you can see like a reddish color.
Why do we do this? We
overshare.
So on Instagram, Davis wrote, 2 hours, 56 minutes, Boston Marathon. I gave it everything for the people, even ished my pants to go as hard as possible. Barely trained, but locked in.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen TikToks post then of, like, doctors stitching it, saying this is what happens if you don't train. This was what happens internally that would cause it. And so people are thinking it's real. Of course, it might not be, but it's looking like it is.
Okay.
So
I guess, again, the authenticity, not the question. We share too much. I don't know you.
Right.
Who is this, Glenn, you said? Or
this
who?
Is Davis.
Davis.
Clark.
I don't know you, Davis.
No.
The question becomes, is it more damning that he did it, or the fact that he got 238,588 likes?
It is shocking. Oh! It's shocking.
What is wrong with us?
All right. And story number three, Dylan Danis has reignited his feud with Logan Paul and his fiancée Nina Agdal following the couple's pregnancy announcement. So in case you didn't know, Dylan and Logan fought in a match back in October and Logan won. Prior to this fight, though, Dylan had been talking major trash, not only to Logan, but more specifically to Nina. He went after her with some very sexist remarks and even was accused of hacking into her Snapchat and releasing very personal photos. The feud actually went so far that Nina had to file a restraining order and a lawsuit for $150,000 against him. But since then, things have gotten pretty quiet. Nina and Logan got engaged and then just announced that they're having a baby last week.
Aww.
Yeah, adorable. Except Dylan took this upon himself and decided that the feud wasn't over. So when he saw that they were having a baby, he moved forward with posting an AI-generated photo of Logan and Nina with their quote-unquote future baby, and the baby was not the same race as Logan and Nina.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No, no.
Yeah. So
there's some things that are off limits. No.
He did it. Mm-hmm. And fans are coming after Dylan, of course, and they're saying things under the photo like, bro, you lost, get over it, and I've never seen someone so obsessed.
So back up. So the origin is Dylan was the loser in this love triangle.
Yes.
Okay. So he's still obviously bitter. He's mm-hmm. angry, and he's going to use social media at every turn to try to get the last word and twist the knife on this.
That doesn't help you with your next girlfriend.
No, not at all.
It doesn't.
He's really been playing into this fight with them. And it's been quiet since the lawsuit, but he really just took it upon himself to reignite the flame with this baby announcement.
Yeah, if you're looking for good references, this isn't going to be the next great reference for the next girl. Look what happens when things turn sour. He goes on social media and starts making AI pictures of babies that don't look like you.
Right, and it doesn't help that he lost the fight to begin with, so he just looks like a sore loser at this point.
That's tough, bro.
All right, last we have, I'm switching it back to Bachelor of the Week this week because I actually watched Masters Sunday. My boyfriend made me watch it with him. And I was taken aback by a potential bachelor, and I had to share with the team.
All right.
Neil Shipley. Did we see him play with Tiger?
No, I did not.
You did not?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, I did, but oh, okay. There's nothing unique. Like, I don't remember what. Like, John Daly, I would remember.
Okay.
But,
well, I just think it was impressive that he's 23 playing with Tiger in the PGA Tour because he won the amateur, right? He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is currently a grad student at Ohio State, so he's going to go back to Ohio State after the Masters and I'm sure have a plethora of DMs.
Oh, okay, but back up. This is the guy that was strangely looking off into the distance while sitting in the butler cabin and everybody wondering what the hell he was looking at.
It was that guy.
Hold on. You're intrigued by this guy?
I am so intrigued. Don't you want to know what he was looking at?
You understand it was Tiger in Augusta and maybe his final Masters. It could have been a sea turtle wearing like a championship belt saddle. I wouldn't have noticed. Like, it was just Tiger.
Okay. Shipley might be the most awkward dude that we've seen get this much TV time, whether it was the awkward interaction with Tiger, the weird staring off into space during the post-round. Like, all of it is just strange. Tell me your level of intrigue with this, Schwartz.
It was intriguing enough to bring him to Bachelor of the Week.
I mean, it can't be the looks, though.
Not bad. Not bad. Oh. I think it's that he plays on the PGA Tour
Helps. I mean, there's probably some future earnings there that are intriguing, but beyond that, like, he looks more borderline stalker killer than he does intriguing bachelor.
That's fair. I think this is the first bachelor that you guys have really disagreed on.
Does your own boyfriend listen to your reviews of what intrigues you,
on
this?
Because he hasn't yet, and I feel like I might steer him away from this one.
Yeah.
Here's what I've learned. She's intrigued by potential stalker
killers. I was about to say, I thought the guardrails would be a little closer to the asphalt. That's all I'm saying.
She is the director of 680 The Fan social media. Wow, I did not see that coming.
She'll give
Amanda
me a birth.
The host of the Bench Riders podcast, Amanda Schwartz, thank you.
Thank you.
Really excited to announce brand new trip details are up at atlsportstrips.com. We have a couple of trips we've been promoting heavily. You've heard us looking forward to our trip to see the Dogs in Austin, and you've had details of that up. We will have Georgia-Alabama details tomorrow finalized for you. But now, if you want to see the team with the tomahawk across their chest, you can see that team as they head out west to L.A. to face Mike Trout and the Angels. All those details are up. You'll see an option for a 2- or 3-night hotel stay right outside Disneyland, tickets to the Saturday night, August 17th game, a Saturday morning VIP meet and greet brunch with a player, a tour of Angel Stadium, transfers to and from the ballpark, and a one-day park hopper ticket to the Disneyland Resort. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. We'd love to have you join us. You can book your room and your trip with a $199 deposit. Get them before they're gone. Go to ATLSportsTrips.com. Again, that's ATLSportsTrips.com.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got to be the king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
Want to welcome on around from Jackets Online. He knows what it's about when it comes to Georgia Tech. It's a rivals thing. Kelly Quinlan, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Chuck. How you doing?
Nothing but good. Let's talk about the spring game. Bunch of yards, and it wasn't just Haynes King. Let's start with the quarterbacks and work through how the offense did what they did on Saturday.
Sure. Haynes got a couple of series. They scored, I think, on two of them, and then he had a weird interception on a tipped ball. It was kind of a fluky good play by DB. Tipped it to another teammate and picked it off, but he was sharp. Zach Pyron looked really good. His arm strength's gotten better. You can see the progression coming there with him a little bit as he gets, into his third year of college. So that was super exciting to see. You know, I feel like they have two guys who could start games in the ACC very comfortably now. And then Aaron Filo and Graham Knowles both showed what they could do a little bit as well. So the two true freshmen who, you know, both should redshirt and not play this year. But it's the first time they've had, like, a real quarterback room that goes that deep in a really long time. And it was something I joked about with Brent Key after the spring game because it was kind of funny.
The wide receiver room. Wow. There's depth there, too.
Yeah, they got Leo Blackburn back. They got Chase Lane back. Chase Lane was a transfer from Texas A&M who played a lot there. He got hurt in, like, the second game of the season last year and tried to come back, just wasn't himself. And he looked good. What was really interesting is there's a guy, a walk-on named Bailey Stockton, who's a guy that they love from down, I think, in southeast Georgia. And he looked really good, and he was a guy they bragged on. He broke, I think, his wrist in fall camp last year and ended up not being able to really play. And then he looked great in the spring game, and they had a walk-on named Chris Elko, who had, like, the greatest day of his life in the spring game, with, like, five catches for, like, 200 yards and two touchdowns, something like that.
Mention Eric Singleton just a little bit, because most people, if you mention that name to them, they wouldn't know who he was, much less that he led a Division I team in receiving, and he's just a kid. What makes his game good?
He catches the ball, and he gets open. Just elite speed. You know, not a guy that's going to maybe beat guys off a huge press at the line or something like that. He can get a little bit lost with a big physical corner at times, but that should come to his game as he gets older. But just has a knack for getting open. He's got slot speed on the outside, and he's really dynamic. You can line him up in different ways. He could run the ball, really, quite frankly, as a running back. He can return punts and kicks. They haven't done a lot of that with him to protect him so far, but he's just very dynamic. And you know, hit that freshman wall last year. He got hurt in the game and kind of tailed off in the second half of the season a little bit compared to how he was planning to start. But I think he has tremendous upside, and they're really excited about that kid.
Kelly, I appreciate the expertise, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
Hey, Kelly, it's Matt Chernoff here. I wanted to ask you about Haynes King and a little bit about how the offense in year two.
Ain't got time.
Kelly?
And time.
Oh.
See if we can get him back.
I got boxed out again. All right, fine. Doesn't hurt me that much. All right, coming up next, Falcons coach Raheem Morris said his team will have to deal with the P word now because Kirk Cousins is here.
Puff, puff, pass.
That's not the P word. I'll share the correct P word with you next. Thanks for spending your Tuesday with Chuck and Chernoff. We're on the radio. I would be the Matt Chernoff part of things. That's the Chuck Oliver part of things. We make up Chuck and Chernoff every afternoon, 2 to 6, right after Domino and Cellini, which come your way 11 to 2. They follow the Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11, and Wake Up Mornings with the Locker Room, 6 to 10. Couple of things I want to remind you guys about. We are down to a handful of our 680 The Fan green cards. I'll give you specifics coming up, but these will be gone, I assume, by the end of the day. And I was told yesterday if they weren't gone, I was going to be fired. So they let me have a stay of execution to come back today. But if you guys don't, go to 680thefan.com and buy up the remaining green cards, I'm done. It's all done.
High stakes, man.
Yeah. It's my livelihood, my insurance, my mortgage, if you guys don't buy the green card. So I'll give you more details on that coming up in a moment. Let me remind you first, though, the Georgia Hemp Company and SimpLeaf Sport CBD, they're the official CBD partner of the Braves. They're giving away a $100 gift card to you all right now for caller, let's say, 7. The gift card is good at any of the 4 area Georgia Hemp Company locations in Atlanta, Decatur, Woodstock, and in Duluth. You can visit GeorgiaHempCompany.com to find the location closest to you. Caller 8. It's yours right now at 404-231-1680. All right, coming up around the corner, the start one Brave has had to the season may be career-saving. King MLB. Are we doing the King MLB?
That's me, by the way. Something to work with there.
All right, King MLB will explain coming up. But first, I want to talk about something Raheem Morris, Falcons head coach, had to say about Kirk Cousins, the new Falcons quarterback. I'm going to play you the cut of Raheem. He sat down with our friend Steve Weish at NFL Network and said, with Kirk Cousins, brings this to the Falcons.
We targeted Kirk because of some of the current relationships, some of the relationships that I had with Kirk before, watching him come into the league as a rookie and being really impressed with him in Washington, and then to watch him go through the league and just have the success that he's had. I couldn't be more excited to get a young man like Kirk. He's still a young man.
I was about to say a young man. A lot of people in football years might be like, say what?
He is, man. He's still a young man. He's still got great energy. I can feel the professionalism and just grow over the years and really critical role for a piece for us to get this offseason, and we wanted to get it done the worst way.
Now, the Falcons want to win right now with Kirk Cousins. That was pretty obvious when they made the move and allocated the kind of dollars they did to Kirk Cousins. And you didn't hear that in the cut there from Raheem Morris, but he alluded to the word pressure. He said, with Kirk brings the pressure that you have to win. And that's pretty obvious when, again, you invest the kind of money the Falcons have invested. I have said all along from the day they signed Kirk, as long as he's healthy, I have no doubt Kirk's numbers will look like Kirk's numbers. 4,000 yards, 25 to 30 touchdowns. The things you're going to want to see offensively will all be there. Whether or not they win at a high level, I still have my doubts. I have my reservations. But with Kirk, it does give them, A, the credibility they were looking for, but B, it brings that pressure of knowing this is not a first-year head coach with a rookie quarterback where you ease your way into it. And we all say after a 7-10 season or an 8-9, well, that's okay. That was growth. No, when you sign Kirk Cousins, it's pretty explicit. We're going to be a playoff team. And if we're not, it's a failure of a season. It's a disappointment of a season. And the first-year head coach, who I like a lot and we all like for his optimism, will then have to explain why it didn't work. That's the pressure Kirk brings.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's misplaced when a team has the first overall pick, Jacksonville, and, who happens to be the best quarterback this year? Because that's who we're taking, whether he's really the best player or he's worth, whatever. It's Trevor Lawrence. It happens to be Trevor Lawrence that year. They get excited about it, and it turns out that in that one case, it probably wasn't as warranted. This is warranted. I mean, the expectations here, you look at Kirk Cousins, and if he's healthy, it was a thing last year. It just happened. But if he's healthy, Matt, here's the thing with Kirk. The floor is really, really high.
Individually or with a team?
For him.
Yeah, for
him.
And
so if everyone around him does their part, well, you got a shot.
I stand here, though, and I'm still very concerned about the holes on this roster. For a team that spent like they did on the quarterback and just assumed that will put them over the top, with a schedule that I told you is statistically the easiest in the NFL, it's going to have a lot of tough spots to it. And, well, it's only April. They still have time to fill these roster spots. This roster is, I don't know if it's better than a year ago. It's better at quarterback, and that makes it better on the whole.
Oh, I think you're going to get a better ground game as well, and then you throw in the fact that you got one of the best kickers in the game, and it's not going to be, hey, let's
I don't want to hear about the kicker. No, stop with the kicker.
I don't want to stitch together five field goals, and that's our scoring for the day, because that's how Coach Arthur would approach it.
This has a very Matt Ryan 2.0 feel to it. I don't think the roster is better. I think the quarterback position is better. I don't think the defense is better. In fact, I know the defense is worse on paper than it was a year ago. And I think that defense overachieved. And I told you they were 24th in DVOA, which means they overachieved in normal statistical categories. But the proof of what they were was on paper was an okay defense that had the benefit of playing some bad quarterbacks. I don't think they're as good defensively. Now, the offense, you better tell me, with this offensive line and this offense is going to go from averaging 20 a game to 27 a game, or else you're still going to be looking at a lot of close losses.
I think there was some cumulative over the season, and particularly how the offense was letting us down. I think there was some cumulative there on the defense that it got kind of easier to say, well, F this.
You really believe that? F this?
No. Not that they quit, but it's like, you got to be kidding me. Like that sort of thing. Like, we got them to stop again, and then that you got to be kidding me. When you have division like that and everybody's not, it's not that they would quit on the field. An NFL player doesn't do that. It's that you ain't a team anymore. And you think the coach is getting fired. And, like, talk about how they responded the final 2 weeks, Chicago and New Orleans. That looked like a team that was all locked in.
I want this team to be really good, and I want them to overachieve. I think the Falcons are overinflated around the league because of Cousins. And people are forgetting in Minnesota he didn't win very much. He had a couple of good years, and they didn't win because of all. I think people are overinflating them a ton, and it scares the crap out of me.
It doesn't take a whole lot for this team to be the best in this division. And so
we say that, though.
That's part of it, sure.
Based on what, though? Why are they better than Tampa? How much better? Kirk is better than Baker.
Because I don't think you have to be great to be better than Tampa, and this team can be better than Tampa.
I think Tampa laughs at the Falcons. I think Tampa's down there going, here they go again with the Falcons. Here, okay, all right, Falcons, here we go. And New Orleans is like, all right, Falcons again, every year with the Falcons. Like, you got to at some point show the thing. I mean, every year we do this, we're like, division, and I'm like, okay.
I bet you right now that Tampa sports leader, they're taking calls about, we just gave Baker Mayfield $120 million. How much did they get Baker? Was it $120?
I don't remember. It was a two-year deal, essentially.
Oh, okay. All right, well, whatever it was. Yeah, we just gave Baker how much? And it was one season. They're call after call about he finally put it together, and then we think he might be the answer. They're debating Baker the same way some folks would debate Kirk here.
Well, I'm not debating Kirk. I'm debating the Falcons' lack of building around Kirk.
Oh, yeah, it was 115. I'm sorry, not 120.
Yeah. I'm upset that they're not spending more on defense, Chuck. That's my point. You spent on Kirk, and I thought that would be the entry into, let's go big and let's spend around Kirk. And I don't just mean offensive weapons. I mean help him with the defense. That's why I keep saying it's Matt Ryan 2.0.
I agree with you. I wish there was a little bit more. Like, I wish there was maybe a little blatant to, we'll worry about 26 when he gets here.
Yeah, I just don't think Kirk's good enough to overcome bad defense is my point. Let me play one more cut for Raheem Morris. This is on Kyle Pitts, and the good news is the Falcons have a plan for the big man.
When you think about Kyle Pitts, You know what he is. Big, friendly, target. I can catch the ball and run, make the impossible catches in the red zone. There's going to be a plan to use those guys. There's going to be a plan to get those guys all involved, particularly him. He'll be a focal point of what we want to do. We're not going to sit here and give you any outrageous stat of how many times we're going to give him the ball, but he'll certainly be a part of it. He is well-versed in what he wants to do and how he wants to play, and now he's just getting better and maturing even more since I've even been in the building now.
I just like how he called him a big friendly target. I want Kyle to be that. I want a big friendly target. Again, I think Kyle's numbers will look much better. There's no question, right? That's the easy part of this with Cousins. He's got a legit quarterback. The numbers will improve. I want to see the special. Like, I want to see the special of the guy that I saw at Florida that would just outjump everybody because he was unicorn size and this ridiculous 6'6 frame. And I want to see the guy run away from people. And I want to see teams have to go, oh my God, we have to scheme up to defend Kyle Pitts. The numbers are one thing. I saw very few glimpses, even his rookie year, of special. There were some one-handed catches. There were some moments. I want to see the special, and so far I haven't seen it.
Kyle at Florida in that last season, here is the snapshot of Kyle. As soon as he catches the ball, the defense is like, uh-oh. Like, you could see the seam is there. Like, Kelce sometimes, when he crosses the field, as soon as he catches the ball, you're like, uh-oh. Like, he had vision, it looked like. And he had 6'6 and sprinter speed and all this other stuff. He caught a lot of balls that you were like, this is about to go. He caught it 12 or 18 yards downfield. You're like, this could go to the house. And I haven't seen, I mean, any of that. None in Atlanta. From Bijan, I've seen that. I have. Kyle Pitts hasn't seen any of it. Even 1,000-yard season, I didn't see it.
I'm rooting like hell for this. I want this to be good, and I want them to be 13 and fuck. I have some.
You want them to be what?
For 13 and 4. I want them to be. I want them to be a team that's like, oh my God, we didn't see that coming. We've been down this road so much with this franchise and this team that I don't give them the benefit of the doubt. They have to prove it to me and then prove it again and prove it a third time. All right. coming up, this news will hit TBS Kids very hard today.
All the kids tune into this program.
Because it officially ends, I think, a pretty special chapter in all of our lives. We'll get to that coming up after. It's King MLB says the start of one Braves a season might be career-saving.
Yeah, it really may be. And I'm talking about Ronaldo Lopez, and he's not even hurt, and I'm talking about career-saving. He moved to the rotation, and like everybody who's got more sense than God gave a barn cat, he changed what he was doing. His career in the pen, because he had started earlier with the White Sox, but then he went to the pen, and then after they traded him, it was the same thing. His career strikeouts per nine coming out of the pen is about 12. 12 per nine. With the Braves so far, it's two starts, folks. He's had 11 strikeouts in 12 innings. So it's just below nine. But that's also about where he was when he was a starter early in his career, so he has dialed it back. The reason I say this may be career-saving, we mentioned with Glavin yesterday, the kid Mason Miller, big, giant kid, over-the-top, Verlander sort of stuff as a closer with the A's. He threw 13 pitches on Sunday, 9 fastballs, all 9 were 100-plus. He hit 103. That's not real. That's not going to last, and everybody knows it. And the reason I say that last part, Matt, everybody knows it. Ronaldo Lopez got a 3-year deal, and it was, I think, sort of as a reliever. You know, relief pitcher, like guy in the pen, it's the only position that we haven't seen major league GMs look at and go, we got to buy out of arbitration. They do it with starters, done it with Adley Rutschman, did it all around the infield and all around the outfield. Hell, they'll do it with guys who, like Yordan, I mean, let's be honest, he's kind of DH-y. And they did it with Yordan. Bullpen arms, you do not do that because everybody realizes what the heck's going on out there. The Braves, hopefully, I looked at last night and I was like, this means they've righted the ship and everything's going to be exactly how I expect in the Braves bullpen because of what they did last night against a good lineup. I hope that's true. What's probably true is no matter how they pitch in a season or two, it's going to be 5, 6, 7 new guys anyway. It's just not meant to last. It's the one place that GMs will not break off, and I think that they're kind of telling us what they know about bullpen arms too.
I thought the deal when they signed Ronaldo, like it was a 3-year deal worth 10 a year, so $30 million. I think, Alex, part of the agreement, and I think the reason Ronaldo signed here was, okay, they're going to give me a shot to start, and we all went, we'll believe it when we see it. And they did give him the shot.
Yep.
That if it works out as a starter, it's stealing. It is such a value deal to get 28 or 30 starts, if it ends up being that. Who knows? But if they get that for $10 million a year, that's silliness. That's just value. If it doesn't work out that way, think about it this way. Pierce Johnson's making $8 million a year. Joe Jimenez, I think, is making $9 million a year. Yep. So it's right in that sweet spot that if you wanted to, because Ronaldo has such a live arm, he profiles anywhere. He could be your eighth inning setup. He could be your ninth inning closer. He could be your four out guy in the postseason. He can do all those things. So even if we say it doesn't work as a starter, it's still right in the sweet spot of what you're paying. Like, I'll give you an idea. Iglesias is making $16 million a year to be the closer, and Ronaldo would make 10, even if it was in a setup role, which I think the Braves are going to give him every chance to even go through some stumbles, which he will. My question is going to be, when he reaches a certain inning limit at some point, or a number, I should say, by August or September, what's he going to be like in October? Like, he's going to pitch more innings than he's ever pitched in his life.
Oh, absolutely. And pre-COVID, he was a starter basically exclusively, and he hit 185, 190 maybe 1 year.
He hasn't done that in 6 years.
It's been a long time. He's 30 now, so yeah.
I wonder if they're going to try to, you know, keep an eye on that as the summer goes into the fall. And, I mean, that arm that's wicked good. I mean, you watch Ronaldo, you're like,
it's nasty, filthy stuff. It's so fun to watch him. And like I said, he comes at the hitters too, man.
Yep. All right, so the news broke yesterday, and it was probably not a ton of, like, headlines it grabbed here, unless you're a certain age. John Sterling, the longtime voice of the Yankees, just on the spot announced his retirement. He's 85 years old, so it's probably time. He also went on an interview with WFN in New York and said, I should have done this in March. He goes, I don't know why I didn't. I want to just watch games on TV. I don't want to travel. I don't want to do it anymore. It's been 35 years with the Yankees. In baseball, it's been 50-plus years. In fact, John Sterling called Braves games on TBS from 1981 through 1987 into 1988 before leaving to take the Yankee gig in 1989. John Sterling is the last remaining piece to the TBS puzzle of the four that I grew up with, of Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieren, Ernie Johnson, and John Sterling. Now, after that, there was some Billy Sample. After that became Joe Simpson, Don Sutton. Like, those guys came in after that point. Even Daryl Chaney before that didn't last very long, yep. So I don't consider him a part of the four that I grew up on those summer nights with Skip and Pete and Ernie and John Sterling. So he's going to retire at 85 years old. And for me, Chuck, it's sad. This is, as a TBS kid, this is the closing of that chapter of pretty much bad baseball, but memorable fun. Those guys working together. And I'll add this about Sterling. He called Hawks games. He worked with Walt Clyde Frazier on games here. The term Dominique is magnifique.
That was him.
That was a John Sterling go-to.
Yeah, absolutely it was, yeah. Yep.
At his time here. But I wanted to play you a couple of clips. So this is what, in Sterling, he hit it high, he hit it far. That's been most known for the Yankees. He had that call with the Braves. I'll take you back to 1987. This was in June of 87 when Dale Murphy, with the bases loaded, did this with John Sterling on the call.
Bases loaded, one out, two balls, one strike on Dale Murphy. To deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A grand slam for Murphy.
So that, again, part of a miserable year, but Murphy had 44 home runs that year. Sterling had the call. But nothing was more famous. And I'm sure the Yankee calls to those fans of Mariano winning championships will always resonate. For us, in the midst of a miserable decade in the 80s, the July 4th, 1985 game against the Mets that you've heard everybody talk about through the years that went to about 3:30 a.m. with fireworks that went off at about 4 a.m. because the Braves did not want to offer rain checks for one of the two games where they actually drew a big crowd down to the stadium. Well, the game was in the 18th inning when the Braves were down 11-10. They were completely out of position players, so they only had pitchers left. And they brought up Rick Camp, who at this time was a 35-year-old reliever who was an .074 career
famously
hitter.
A horrid hitter. The last guy you would ever allow to hit, even for himself, and you're like, we got nobody else.
He had 85 strikeouts and 175 career ABs. But that night, this moment happened, and to me, this is as great a call from Sterling as you'll hear.
It'll be an 0-2 pitch. And he hits it to deep left. Heat goes back. It is gone! Holy cow! Oh my goodness! I don't believe it! I don't believe it! Rick Camp! Rick Camp! I don't believe it!
Remember what I just said, if he hits a home run, that certifies this game as the wackiest, wildest, most improbable game in history.
Now, there were about 6,500 people left in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, but they were very loud and as shocked as John Sterling was in that moment.
Oh, and everybody living in Peoples Town, too. Because they remember they set the fireworks off and got a lot of calls to the cops.
Yeah, people thought it were bombs going off around downtown Atlanta. But Sterling's call in that moment for a game that was mostly meaningless, for a team that was really bad, was a wonderful call. Now, he went on again to build a legendary 35-year career with the Yankees. But if you're a TBS kid, skip Pete, Ernie, and John Sterling. They held most of that for the 80s.
Ain't no doubt, Matt. I graduated high school in 86, and so John was in the sweet spot of the horrible baseball. He did get the year in 82, the division there.
He did.
And it just blows my mind. You talked about Clyde Frazier doing Hawks games here. All these people that I should have got the autograph from, Bob Gibson was the pitching coach. Yep. Joe Torre was the manager.
Hank Aaron was the president.
Willie Stargell was the first base yep. coach. And I literally looked at all these soon-to-be Hall of Famers, and I was like, that's the old guy. I want Glenn Hubbard's autograph now.
Rafael Ramirez has got to sign this.
We had no perspective about but that's all we could. That's the only way we could get the all-timers in Atlanta was after they had stopped playing. Now they could be the first base coach.
I would also offer Hall of Fame level broadcasters. That's what we had with Skip and Pete and Ernie and John Sterling. All right, coming up, one Atlanta team is proof of the giant difference between half and one third. Of a math lesson, Chuck will explain next.
So if you want to go with a little verde, that can be right, depending on how you like your eggs. If I could get a little bougie, a little gorgeous.
If you don't mind a little tomatilla, just throw it in there, a little tomatilla salsa. Just by advice, a little green, just to dress it up a little bit.
Well, that's what the verde was doing, but
even more fun. I love me some tomatilla. I really do. Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. We're on FM, and you can hear it right now. Flip over. I'll wait. There we are. Hi, 93.7. How are you? We're also on AM. We're still on AM at 680. And, of course, always available on our 680 The Fan mobile app, which will come in handy tonight when you want to listen to the Braves and the Astros. First pitch at 8:10 right here on the Fan after the Ford leadoff show. Now, I told you my job was essentially dependent on you guys buying the rest of our 680 The Fan green cards. We're down to like a handful of these things, and it's an incredible value. So if you want to make this a Father's Day present, or you want to make it a graduation gift, or you want to make it a birthday present, or a gift to yourself to get out of the house, the 680 The Fan green card is now available. And they're going very fast. I said we're down to about a handful. It's the deal of the year that will allow you to play six incredible golf courses for one low price of just $249. This is over $600 worth of golf for just $249. And we're giving you the cart. We're giving you the $25 FireMaker Brewing Company gift card. So you're going to play Cherokee Run, Bears Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National Golf Club, and Wolf Creek Golf Club. It's a $600 value for just $249. Cards are on sale now, and they will move. Go to 680thefan.com. Get them before my job is gone. By the end of the day today, that could be it if these cards are not moved. Now, King MLB was here just moments ago. Now, is this King NBA?
A little bit about that, because I thought I was on the track with some sort of Hawks equation here, and I realized, no, what I thought was a positive is just kind of a neutral, maybe. The difference between half and one-third, Matt. I thought with Trey and Quinn, the Hawks had gotten half the equation right, okay? Here were the four things. You need the superstar, all caps. You need the really, really good coach. Then you need the second star, and you need the triplet. That second one, the really, really good coach, yeah, not necessary. Not really. Don't have a bad coach, but advantage every night sort of coach? No, not necessary. The team didn't get half of the four. They got one of the three. One of the three real legit NBA stars you need. And you need a superstar, and then you need two more. the coach isn't part of that. And I thought they got 2 out of 4. No, they've got 1 out of 3. DeJounte's not a superstar. In fact, he and Trey kind of, I don't know, work against each other sometimes. Yay, Atlanta, for hiring Quinn. And I mean that. Having 3 studs on the floor is way more freaking important. And I know that because the Hawks have their best player in 3 decades, and they have a legit big-time advantage coach. And they're on the road as the 10 seed in a bullspit play-in game. So spend your cash on an okay enough coach and get a better roster, not the other way around. This franchise gets a lot of stuff wrong.
Well, they can do both, though, right? Because we know the coach doesn't count against your cap, so that's not even an issue.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying, but he doesn't like spending the physical money.
Yeah, I know. I applauded them when they hired Quinn. They invested a lot, and
I'm very critical of that franchise. I've called them very unserious. I mean, just from little things to big things. But the Quinn thing, like, I still have a very high opinion of Quinn.
I do, too.
There are a lot of things that have gone wrong in this season. I will guarantee you, Trae Young, his play has not been one of them. And I know there's...
He may have had his best season because he defensively, and we've talked about that before, at least he's better.
But here's the bottom line, Chuck. Most people aren't watching. So I'm hearing a lot of talk through the media and fans of people who aren't watching. And that makes it tough to give a true opinion on something you're really not watching. Here's what's going on. The Trey injury certainly is big, but the other stuff around this team in trying to build it. Like, if you look at the 2021 club that made the Eastern Conference final run, that is going to be looked at now as an anomaly. That roster was so deep. That thing was loaded with 10 or 11 players that you liked, that if you lost a player for a night or two, you could survive it. And we've talked about this over and over. They have willingly chopped down their own roster for the sake of not going into the luxury tax, not spending more money. Now, they spend a lot on their cap, but not to the level that you're going to need to keep the band together. That's why you just willingly give away Kevin Huerter for 2 backups. That's why you try to trade John Collins over and over, so you devalue him and give him away for nothing. That's why you, when you lose Danilo Gallinari or you lose other members of the bench, you don't replace a lot of them. Now, here's where I'll give Quinn a lot of credit, Chuck. I think they've developed some guys like Vete Krejci that we didn't see coming. Yeah. Garrison Matthews. Jalen is a super talented young guy that you hoped would continue to develop. But, like, I think they've done a good job of getting something out of Bruno Fernando. But the problem is you're not going to win at a high level with the names I'm telling you unless you figure out the front part of the roster, and they just haven't done that.
Okay, then I don't know this. I need to know what the giant deficiencies are that all of those positives. And here's what I said, Quinn. I agree. The day they hired him, I was like, wow, that's substantive. They just made a big improvement. Why does all of this equal on the road in a play-in game?
Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, the injury thing has been huge. That's been a big part of it. If you're healthy, let's say this season is a fully healthy Jalen, a fully healthy Onyeka, a fully healthy Trey. I don't know what that looks like. Is that 5 or 6 more wins? Is that going to soothe you if they're instead of 36 and 46?
There's nothing to soothe me, but I think it was just the cold bucket of reality that, yes, they got the coach right, and they did what they should have. They should have hired Quinn, and yay, he's helped.
Right.
On the court is way, way, way more important, and I was hoping
that
Quinn would be at least a brick, if not a cinder block on the scale, and it just is kind of a nice factor, but it's not it doesn't change stuff in the NBA. Not really.
Oh, I disagree. Eric Spoelstra is a difference maker. Quinn Snyder, theoretically,
sure.
Is a difference maker.
Spoelstra is a great example of that.
But those guys are difference makers, but at the top of the roster after Trey, do you have enough? No.
Nah.
And that's where this city continues to argue against the wrong things. It's not Trey you need to be arguing. They tried the DeJounte Murray thing. It was misguided when they tried it. DeJounte's a talented player. The two don't fit together. This team still has defensive liabilities, which we watch a lot of nights. But I still think there is some positive here. Like, Jalen Johnson has star potential to go along with
Trey. I agree with that. Yeah.
You can see a ceiling there. Like, I've seen things out of DeAndre Hunter this year that I have not seen before, which, again, is encouraging. I don't know what the Onyeka ceiling is because now he's hurt and we haven't seen the growth in it. They're going to have to do some roster juggling. There's no question. And I don't know what the answer to that is because trying to build around a 6'1" point guard is never easy. But I still think Quinn is a part of what you want in getting this thing right.
Yeah, and you know, this was like when Raheem was talking about we're going to be world-class everywhere, world-class in how we get to the game, world-class in our pregame meal, world-class where I was like, give me a world-class corner, give me a world-class pass rush, give me, like, that's what matters. And you're right about all of that stuff and getting guys in, and I know all of those layers.
The focus should be higher than Quinn. The focus is you have a Mickey Mouse front office, You have an ownership that's a disaster.
All that's true, too.
You have a GM that we know nothing about in Landry Fields that seemingly is frightened to make moves because they wait and wait and wait, and then by the time they make the move, it's a little bit late. So I think it's a bigger picture than Quinn and what's on the court. I think you got a major issue upstairs that it's not going to fix
that,
itself.
Yeah, sure.
All right, coming up, the Braves picked right up where they left off in Houston.
Alex owns a crap ton of Denny's all around Houston.
Oh, how about that? Plus, the Falcons, sitting on top of these rankings, should make me feel good.
I don't care about winning no football games.
Instead, they make me uncomfortable.
Stop it!
I'll tell you why next.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.